The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
All right, we are back. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Wednesday, 20th of March, 2019. Continuing with Chuck Carlson's piece, he said the mass murderer of Christchurch, Brenton Harrison Tarrant, named our president as his white supremacist ideologue. But we must look past our president to the political force that supports him to find the source of the violence. Church-based Christian Zionist is the biggest one. Nor is impeachment the answer. Vice President Mike Pence, another Christian Zionist, is quietly waiting in the wings. Well, Mike, it doesn't look like you're going to have a crack at the White House here. What is the role of Israel's Zionist in Christchurch massacre? A typical media response came from the author Leonid Bershidsky in Bloomberg News the very morning of the Christchurch attack. He said the deadly attacks on two New Zealand mosques should draw attention to an obvious fact. Terrorists linked to the far right are no less murderous than the Islamic groups that get more headlines and attention from politicians. In other words, Jewish writer Bershidsky asserts that the Muslims in Christchurch had it coming because of terrorist acts by other Muslims in other places at other times. Christian Zionism in the unchristlike faction within Christianity, more like a lodge or a cult than a faith, it is intentionally generated inside Christian churches, usually but not always known as evangelicals. Now, there are no Jesus Christ teachings that accepted murder and war by any name. But Christian Zionists do so out of the misguided emotional belief that the modern state of Israel altered Jesus' teachings about love and peace. The Christian Zionist definition that we hold these truths developed is the belief that the present-day state of Israel is the fulfillment of Christian Bible prophecies. We cannot excuse our Christian Zionist friends and relatives for looking the other way, often justifying the almost daily murder of Gaza Strip residents. And that's another thing that you don't talk about in the mainstream media. Don't do that. The Israeli Zionists are systematic killers. The same day that Brenton Harrison Tarrant murdered 49 humans in Christchurch, U.S. media reported the Israeli military released that it had struck approximately 100 targets inside Gaza. As is usual, it made no accounting to the death toll. And there was no room for that story, folks, because, you know, after all, we don't talk about that anyhow. But, you know, in this day, 49, you know, what leads bleeds. And we had 49 reasons not to report on Israel's striking in the Gaza Strip. This is the only real territory that's left, and they claim that they were fired upon. This was several days ago. Two rockets were fired into Israel. And they said, who did that? It wasn't anybody here in the Gaza Strip that did that. So, folks, it was probably just a story, but under the cover of something really happening bad. Well, let's go commit more genocide. Ironic, isn't it? Claim that genocide was committed by, oh, those evil Nazis. 6 million people died in those prisons and in those ovens. Oh, my gosh. And they're doing the exact same thing to the Palestinians, only on a grander scale. This writer has personally observed and photographed an Israeli Hellfire missile attack on Gaza in 2002. Each missile is designed to kill. It cannot help but kill when unleashed into one of the densest population areas of the Middle East. We will be looking for a death report to see if Israel exceeded that 49 killed in Christchurch on the very same day. But that is very highly unlikely to make it in the U.S. news. The painful bottom line is this. Church-going Christian Zionists are among the best friends and family members, but they are also at the root of our war problem and the unwitting cause of the murder of unaccountable Palestinians. Worse yet, Christian Zionists find it very difficult to hear and believe the truth about their acts and their chosen cult for reasons we will explain in this series, Chuck says. We'll also touch upon examples of how Israel Zionists and Jewish media activists go about muffling resistance of voices not unlike ours. And that's what this is about. Muffling the people, folks. Muzzling them, basically. Oh, we're gonna test out the phone system. It hung up? Oh, they hung up. Okay. 800-313-9443. Trying to figure out if our phones work for the next show. Somebody call. Okay. Anyhow. Global mass surveillance. This is right up our alley today. Global mass surveillance and how Facebook's private army is militarizing our data. Last month, Business Insider published an extraordinary detailed look into the private army protecting Facebook and its founder. While much of the expose revolved around the company's traditional security measures like armed guards and executive protection, what stood out about the company's close relationship with law enforcement and its use of traditional government surveillance technologies, from secret cell phone tracking to license plate scanners, to the proposed deployment of facial recognition to its global surveillance camera network? What can we learn from the way in which Facebook is in many ways militarizing its 2 billion users' data? One of the most notable aspects of last year's nonstop deluge of privacy and security-related Facebook news is that despite security breach after security breach in which 2 billion users' data was stolen, harvested or otherwise misappropriated by third parties, the company's own data has remained largely untouched, despite seemingly unable to secure the most intimate and private information of its users in any way when it comes to the company's data. It has a formidable security apparatus that ensures few leaks. In other words, when it comes to the safety and security of its users, the company has found itself again and again unable to protect them from harm. And that's a debatable issue right there. When it comes to itself, the company has invested heavily in ensuring it does not suffer similar breaches. Now, it seems this placement of its own safety over that of its user extends to the physical world as well. Business Insider documentary on Facebook's physical security practices notes that the company employs, among other technology, license plate scanners as part of its surveillance camera network, and has considered applying facial recognition to its cameras to instantly recognize those entering or moving about its building and grounds. Asked where the company obtains the license plate information of users it wishes to track, a company spokesman declined to comment. Asked whether Facebook receives license plate information through its relationship with law enforcement and whether it maintains its own database of license plate information obtained through any means, the company again declined to comment. Now, the ability of social media companies to stockpile databases of license plate information to use their own operations is of great concern and raises the question of what else Facebook could do with all of that stuff. Well, now recall that Facebook has previously proposed selling facial recognition capabilities to retail stores that would tie people walking around in their storefronts back to their Facebook profiles without their consent. Now, one could easily imagine Facebook constructing a vast database of license plates that would add a list of all vehicles owned by each of its 2 billion users. This could in turn be sold as a service to governments or private companies to turn private internet-connected camera networks into real-time surveillance platforms. Coupled with Facebook's vast facial recognition database, the company could offer a real-time parking lot inventory to a store, along with the identity of each driver and passenger on all those vehicles, and their real-time location within the store, along with all of their interests and an estimate of whether they are potential shoplifters or a valuable potential customer. Now, it could then turn around and sell the feed to law enforcement and government security services that provide them with real-time location of every citizen and visitor within their borders as they go about their daily lives. Even those going to great lengths to conceal their location from security devices by not carrying out any electronic devices would be likely eventually be spotted by one of the Facebook-connected cameras. And again, the company declined to comment about its license plate scanning technologies. Tellingly, when asked whether the company had since deployed facial recognition to any of its security cameras, the company declined to comment. For a company that typically pushes back forcefully on privacy-related rumors, the fact that Facebook did not deny having now deployed facial recognition to its camera networks is a critical reminder of the rights we grant it to our private data. And given that Facebook already transforms our private photographs into monetizable facial recognition models that it uses to identify images we appear in, it doesn't take much imagination to foresee the company simply taking those existing models and connecting them to its global network of surveillance cameras. The company's generous exemptions to its privacy and safety settings allow it to ignore most user preferences when it comes to the safety and security of the platform, opening up the possibility that it could build facial recognition models even for those who have explicitly demanded the company not do so, potentially placing the company in conflict with the GDPR and the EU users. Now, once again, the company declined to comment on where its facial recognition imagery comes from or whether it would be it would commit to not mass harvesting its users' private imagery to build its global surveillance network. The company's cozy relationship with law enforcement also raises serious questions about its commitment to privacy. The kind of mass facial recognition and tracking platforms the company has built for itself are tailor-made for the needs of repressive governments all across the world, suggesting that much like its advertising selectors, its physical surveillance platform will soon be co-opted by governments to outsource their intelligence and repression needs, if it hasn't already. Now, putting this all together, in the end, we once again are reminded that in our rush to live stream our lives and pour our most intimate moments into Facebook, and it's Facebook's walled garden, we are signing away the rights to our privacy, our thoughts, and even our likenesses to a private company that has the legal right to do whatever it pleases with our information and is under no obligation of any kind to tell us what it does with it and with our very lives. Georgie Orwell would be very proud. Chance in West Virginia. Hello, Chance.
Yes, hello, John. Did I hear you correctly? The New Zealand shooter alluded to President Trump as a white supremacist?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Well, how could that be? Because every State of the Union address I heard, he mentioned nothing about whites. He said the employment rate went up for Latinos, for blacks. He didn't mention anything about whites. That tends to make me think that this is even more of a hoax than I thought.
Well, did you see the video? Did you see the disappearing expended shells?
I heard about it, but you know what? I don't even need to see the video because all these little things that I've heard just don't sound right. That would be the ultimate cherry on top, I would believe. Maybe that's why they don't want you to see the video. Maybe that's why they're threatening people with 10-year prison terms.
Just what I hear. 10-year prison sentence for even watching the video. What the hell kind of draconian measures are this by the New Zealand government? And what are they afraid of?
Talk about communism. Now, let me ask you something. I heard something in passing on another network. I don't know how true this is, but Trump is considering or has appointed Cindy McCain to some cabinet post or some position.
Have not heard anything about that.
Yep, that's what I've heard. And I'm saying to myself, after hearing all this, how can people cheerlead for this man, making these pick after pick? It astounds me. That's all I had to say. It might be something you want to look into. I heard that, and the person is pretty reputable who said it. And I don't know. This man really confounds me. President really confounds me.
Well, going into this, I knew where he came from. I knew who his friends were. He was a businessman, and he was right. He would deal with any politician to get what he wanted. Much like anybody else in New York, whether they're a real estate developer or anything else. Politics plays, you stand favorably. Every good boy deserves favor if you stand in good stead with no matter who the politicians are. So I knew that going in, but I also knew a little bit about Donald's background. I knew what his father was like. I knew what his father believed. And it was like, okay, if half of what his father was a John Bircher, if half of that was retained by Donnie Jr. when he was a child, how bad could this be? Now, is he a real Republican by today's political standards? No. Is he a Democrat by today's standards? No. Is he more independent? I would say yeah, but hey, he decided he was going to run on a Republican platform, and he did, and here we have President Donald J. Trump. So,
I don't know what category to put him in. I don't know where he fits, but he confounds me with his appointments that he makes. I mean, you would think these cheerleaders for Trump would look at this and say, hey, wait a minute, something's wrong with this picture.
Well,
Bolton, Pompeo, McCain. I mean,
Now, Chant, now hold on here, Chant. You just said that you heard this from another network. What network did you hear this from?
I heard this, I believe it was on America Voice Network.
Okay, all right. So without Chance, let me stop your roll here for a second because I want to point something out to you, what you just said. You just lumped the McCain thing in there with Donald Trump's poor choices, and we haven't verified that he actually hired McCain's daughter. Okay?
Well, I found this guy to be pretty reliable.
All right, well, whatever. Whatever. Yeah. But I'm telling you, I have not heard that. I've not verified it. As a matter of fact, there have been 3-4 days now that people have been tweeting out about Donald Trump's tweets about John McCain, and they haven't been exactly flattering. So I would think that it would be hard to believe here that he hired, what's her name, Megan?
Cindy. Cindy, his wife.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, his wife, Cindy. No, I haven't heard that. Have not heard that.
Yeah, well, maybe you have some very, very astute listeners. Maybe one of them will call up tonight and verify this. Maybe it. I hope.
Chance, I'm hoping here that in the future that everybody verifies, like CNN, verifies their information before they put it out, like BuzzFeed, like any of these people. Wow. I'm amazed that they're pushing for verification. They want to keep everybody safe. Well, we've got to be accurate. We've got to be accurate in what we report as well. We have a duty and obligation to be accurate. And if we do make a mistake, we will put out a disclaimer about it, or not a disclaimer. We will put out a correction about it. Thank you.
Okay. Well, maybe one of your listeners did. Maybe one of your listeners heard something.
All right.
Okay, John, thank you.
All
Have
right.
a good night.
All right, Chance.
What goes up must come down.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Somewhere, somewhere, I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return again to you. The mist is lifting slowly. I can see
Betty in North Carolina. Hello, Betty.
Hello, thank you so much for taking my call. Mm-hmm. You're the old swamp fox, and I really appreciate all you do. This morning on Vince Benelli's program, he was talking about frequency radiation and the impact on the environment and the impact on the species and the impact on the individuals, especially the kids that are still learning, you know, in colleges and things. And I just thought I'd call and see if you had anything to talk about cyberspace and kind of taming it the way we tamed the cars on the road or the airplanes or the ships on the sea.
You know, you have me at a disadvantage. I did not hear Vinny's show. So I don't know.
Good.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll take your word for that. But I did not listen to the show, Betty. So
I know.
I can't make any comment, or I don't know exactly what he's talking about, and I have nothing to add here.
It's climate change and the impact on nature, et cetera.
Well, according to a story that was on MSN.com, people are leaving Florida because of climate change. So,
I guess.
Yeah.
What was it, H.R. 183 with Omar? I never did get the documentation too well on that.
On Omar.
Did you ever get it? Omar's talk, you know, on expressions of intolerance?
No, I did not.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much for everything.
Okay, Betty. Sorry I couldn't help you today. Here is... Beto. Old Beto. Now, this guy never... He ran for Senate, but he got beat here in Texas. Now, this guy thinks, well, I could become president. He's a hack. He's from Texas here, and he ain't no Texan. Let me put it to you that way, folks. And I've been watching and listening to this guy, and here is kind of a forum that he was at. It's a fundraiser, pretty much. And a young man stood up and wanted clarification on his position on abortions and should babies be terminated if they're born alive. Now, listen how he sidesteps the question. Mike, my pot over here, thank you.
Thank you for being here. You gave me a good excuse to get out of school.
Happy to oblige.
I wanted to ask you about a recent bill that just went through the Senate about 2 weeks ago. And the bill was that if an abortion was performed on a viable fetus and the fetus survived the abortion, the doctor would then be compelled to give that living baby the same care as any other pregnancy baby that came out and put that baby through the care. Would you support this bill that does not in any way limit abortion and simply seeks to keep babies alive that have been born alive?
Thank you for the question. The way that I would approach your question and this issue generally is to trust women to make their own decisions about their own bodies. When I talk about universal guarantee, high-quality health care for everyone in this country, it's prime.
Notice how he sidestepped that, and then we go right into health care. He didn't address the question. And I saw a video yesterday where somebody had posed a similar question. But it wasn't really that audible. You had to listen real closely. It was a woman asking the question of him, and he had the microphone in his hand. And the questioner did not have a mic in their hand, like you just heard this young man that skipped school to go listen to this jerk. Sorry, Beto.
Primary health care, it's mental health care, and it's women's health care. And I'll tell you why. In my home state of Texas, we have shut down our state legislature, our governors, more than half the family planning clinics in our state, making it that much harder for women to get a cervical cancer screening, see a family planning provider, of any kind.
All right, I'll shut him up right now. I know you can't stand it any more than I can. Yeah. Now, that's the question about this. It's not even late-term abortion. It's birth baby. Do we have the right? Does the mother have the right to make the decision to tell the abortionist, yeah, go ahead and kill my baby? Folks, this is dancing very close to an act of murder. Justifiable homicide? Don't think so. Self-defense? Uh-uh. Premeditated murder? Yeah. First of all, where was your... I almost said something that I may not have regretted saying, but it might have been hard for some people to hear. Saved by the Bell. Okay, let's take the break. 800-313-9443. Getting irascible in my old age.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Oh, Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You know, folks, down here in Texas, it's kind of fun to watch the liberals when their favorite socialist slash communist is no longer in office. And down here, when Donald Trump got elected, I don't know if it was fear that they'd be pulled over and pulled out of their cars because of their bumper sticker and tarred and feathered and lit on fire. But those bumper stickers disappeared rather rapidly. Now, I still see a few Beto when he was running for Senate on people's bumpers. And that's when he ran against Ted Cruz. You know, another person down here in Texas I hold little or no regard to, but many people in political circles, oh, he's a conservative, I'll vote for him. Yeah. Well, Robert Francis Beto O'Rourke is now in a little doo-doo here. The man most famous for losing to Ted Cruz is now running for president, but his campaign is eerily speeding toward the rocks. And this massive skeleton in his closet could be the bomb that blows his campaign apart. Robert Francis O'Rourke, best known as Beto, I don't even know where the Beto came from, after trying to portray himself as Hispanic, made it official this past week when he announced he was running for president. Now, who was the dingbat that claimed she was Indian? He wasn't paying attention? I guess not. The former Texas congressman is perhaps best known for losing to Ted Cruz in the 2018 elections, and now he wants to get a promotion all the way to the White House. But almost immediately out of the gate, Beto's campaign start taking water on. This bombshell just broke, which could doom his campaign to disaster even before it gets off the ground. Beto O'Rourke apologized Friday night for his writings the former Texas representative made as a teenager describing fantasies about running over children with a vehicle. This isn't the first time Beto has been in trouble for something involving cars. In 1998, he was arrested for DUI and allegedly fled the scene. The murder fantasy story, however, could be far more damaging to his presidential ambitions. I'm mortified to read it now, incredibly embarrassed, but I have to take ownership of my words, Beto said during a taping of Political Party Live podcast in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Whatever my intention was as a teenager doesn't matter. I have to look long and hard at my actions, at the language I have used, and I have constantly tried to do better. That apology came after news broke that Beto had once written a murder fantasy about children screaming as he ran over them with a car or a truck. Folks, I'm sorry, I remember when I was a teenager. I never had any little sick fantasies or stories to tell about anything like that. Did you? Wow, maybe that's why he dodged that young man's question that was ducking out of school when he asked him, can you clarify here about a baby being born alive? What about that? Oh, it's the women's right. It's her choice. What? Again, what? Tell the abortionist, go ahead and murder the kid. Or snap its neck and just throw it in a dumpster. Oh, no, don't. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe you can harvest some stuff out and make some money. You know, folks, I'm waiting for the day here. And I don't think it's too far off the way the morality compass has been thrown in the toilet. That maybe one of these days we can go in business and people can go full term, bear a baby live, keep it alive long enough to harvest some of its stuff. And oh, by the way, you get a kickback for that. Now, whatever my intention was as a teenager doesn't matter. Okay, that apology came after news broke that Beto had once written that murder fantasy. Now, it has also come to light that Beto was once a member of one of America's largest hacking groups called the Cult of the Dead Cow. The group's focus was to hack Microsoft computers and help others do as well. Now, the murder fantasy news could be the end of Beto's campaign, which just launched days ago. One day, as I was driving home from work, I noticed two children crossing the street. They were happy, happy to be free from their troubles. This happiness was mine by right. I had earned it by my dreams, Beto writes in his story. As I neared the young ones, I put all my weight on my right foot, keeping the accelerator pedal on the floor until I heard the crashing of the two children on the hood, and then the sharp cry of pain from one of the two. I was so fascinated for a moment that when, after I had stopped my vehicle, I just sat there in a daze, sweet visions filling my head. What kind of whacked-out crap is this? What kind of mind comes up with something like this? The closest I ever got to anything like that was a story I told one day about the liberal Ann Arbor and what has happened to one of the great universities this country used to know. I hated going to Ann Arbor, and I once remarked to my old broadcast partner, I said, I get this temptation every once in a while just to take my car and drive down the sidewalk. I was kidding. Never in my wildest dreams would I ever take anybody's life, depending or not on their political point of view, of taking a life. But this guy goes into detail about it, recognizing they were happy, happy to be free from their troubles. Evidently, he wasn't too happy because this happiness was mine by right. I had earned it in my dreams. So after he hits the human speed bumps and they're smeared all over his vehicle, he stopped and he just sat in a daze, sweet visions filling my head over intentionally murdered children? What? Well, Beto's campaign apologized for the writing. No, you should apologize that you're backing this clown, this gestating big, gigantic sack of nothing.
Oh, but he's viable. He went out there in 24 hours, raised $6.1 million.
Yeah. Well, I've heard the old phrase, money and the fools are soon parted. George in Texas. Hello, George.
How you doing, John?
Hi.
You know, the thing is, when I was 16, you know what my fantasy thoughts were? Was marrying Heather Locklear.
Well, from a young man's point of view, that would have been pretty much. Heather Locklear was not an ugly wart, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know about Beto O'Rourke, and you know the thing is, I cringe every time I hear, especially from the right-wing patriot media, and that is Ted Cruz won by a very small margin. I said Beto O'Rourke probably got them votes from dead people or illegal aliens, because I really think he didn't really have much of a chance in Texas.
Well, you know, I mean, Beto O'Rourke thinks that sitting there and making a video of him sitting in a dentist chair having his teeth cleaned is somehow presidential material, building a repertoire of I'm valuable in the Oval Office. This shows you the depravity of politics and its absence of good people. Whether they be Democrats or Republicans or independent, I don't give a damn what you call them. You know, I mean, this has gone beyond insane.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's not like we don't lack good people. I just think we got gatekeepers that keep them out of politics. That's what I see. But anyway, but you know, the thing about Beto O'Rourke, I know President gave him Elizabeth Warren the name of Pocahontas, but I'm conflicted between giving Beto O'Rourke the name Speedy Gonzales or Kong Kong Fooey, because how he flaps his hands around.
Yeah, he is a major distraction, and that those gestations, those gyrations with those limbs, this is what he's desperately trying to do, is punctuate and accentuate what he's saying, and all it is a big distraction, because the big goof says nothing of any value. And on yesterday's program, you heard what I had to say about my sister's neighbors when I was just a kid visiting Florida. She caught on to the fact that every time the guy raised his hand and put it in the air to draw your attention, he was scratching himself below so you couldn't see it.
Jeez. Well, yeah, I just really think Beto O'Rourke's out there, because I really think Alexio Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar, I mean, that distraction, I think, sort of like kind of wore out real fast.
Yeah, yeah.
So here comes Beto.
Yeah, Beto. I don't even know where that Beto came from, and quite frankly, to me, he's just another embarrassment out of Texas.
Well, Beto, you know, I really think it's a ventriloquist doll with George Soros up his backside talking.
Very well could be. Very well could be. All right, George.
Thank you, John.
Okay. I'm sorry. Mike, let me take Mike in Colorado first. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, John, did you ever see that movie Rocky Mountain Heist?
Who starred in it?
You know, it wasn't. It was a documentary by Michelle Malkin, how they turned Colorado from red to purple or blue.
Okay, no, I did not see it.
That's what they're doing in Texas.
Well, and again, you know, let me make the distinction here. Do you think some Texas cowboy is out there roping his steers right now, thinking of ways he can support Beto O'Rourke?
Not a chance.
Okay, where is this stuff coming from? It's coming from the blue dots within every state, and those are the major metropolitan areas.
Well, not only that, but it's coming from big money who don't represent the people of those big blue dots in those cities.
Mm-hmm.
And I recommend every Texan watch Rocky Mountain Heist by Michelle Malkin.
What has happened to her recently? She used to be on Fox, but they kind of booted her.
Yeah, she dropped off when she wouldn't do the party line. I know she's doing a lot of independent stuff.
Right.
And she lives here now, but...
Lives here, where here?
Sorry, in Colorado.
Okay, all right.
She shows how they systematically brought in money interests to not only gerrymandered districts, but it's a total non-representation of the people. And the people have no recourse because, of course, rigged elections and
criminal judges. You know, Mike, they can try to gerrymander and redistrict and do all this stuff. The way the Democrats are heading right now, I don't know. I don't think they're automatically going to run out and vote for Donald Trump for the next election. They just may quietly sit at home and do nothing, which will give him the seat anyhow. The way I'm looking at this, they've got to do one of two things. Either hold their nose and just resign themselves to the fact that Donald Trump's going to be around for another 4 years, or the Willy What Work team just go out and murder the President of the United States and put Pence in there.
Well, very true. It doesn't help you in Texas, though. We've got a sodomite governor now. I mean, we went from a conservative governor 12 years ago.
Who might that have been?
Oh, God, what was his name? The Republican guy who got in trouble for changing money. I can't even remember his name now.
I don't remember any of the indicators. You're not triggering any memory.
No, it was Roy Romer.
Okay, Governor Romer.
Governor Romer, and then we got the
Romer
guy and Chicken Looper.
Romer. Did we have a Governor Romer down here 12 years ago?
No, we did.
Oh, you did in Colorado. Okay.
Yeah, we had a Republican.
Yeah, I'm getting geographically confused with you today, Mike.
I'm sorry. That's my fault.
Not that. Well.
And then we got Governor Chicken Looper, who's going to run for president, apparently, allegedly.
Well, you know.
And now we got a side of my governor.
Well, let him try. Seriously, Mike, the Republicans, have you heard any whisperings, whatever, or who's going to throw their hat in the ring for president for the Republican Party?
Not a one.
Now, why do you suppose that is?
Well, I think they look at the other side and they laugh.
No, Mike, you're a little sharper than that. The Republicans are confused to who to put out there and put on the chopping block. Who do they have? What conservative can they put out there to run? And the very few that are in the Republican Party really don't have a wish to become president of the United States. They're more than happy to sit where they're at.
Right.
But now we have all the Democrats out there, everybody vying for the presidency. This is going to dilute funding. It's going to dilute a lot of things. They're going to have too many people in the ring, and when the time comes before the DNC finally makes up its mind who they're going to bless and give the dominee to here, it's going to be a little bit too late for them. They have nothing. They have no platform. They've got nothing. And they're still trying. Now they're trying to run around putting the fire out that Ocasio-Cortez has started, and Bernie Sanders continues to stoke, and then we've got all the other Democrats that wouldn't be eligible to run for city council, let alone president of the United States. So they've got a real problem here. The only solution I see to this is somebody killing Donald Trump, because he's the random element. He is the X factor that has been dropped into this scenario that they were not expecting.
Well, that's a good analysis. I appreciate your show, John.
All right. Thanks.
Have a good night.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks.
Before I go to another caller here, and Fred in Michigan, once I got you off your stringing adjectives together, man, you kind of blew me away yesterday. Was that yesterday, Mike, you called in? Kind of blew me away. I thought, uh-huh. So today, Fred, what's on your mind?
Michelle Malcolm, January of 18, first time I heard a Talmudic newscast since 08 on Talmud Vision, but she summarized the...
there you go.
the manufactured Russia Gate. She summarized it as a politically correct, she even said Talmudic soap opera. Talmudic Hollywood soap opera, and that's all it is.
Because the question I ask is, what happened to Michelle Malkin? Because she was being groomed by Fox, as being this cutesy little foreign gened individual that was a conservative.
Right.
So do you now? Do we know that that's the reason why she got bounced? Because she referenced Talmudic anything?
Well, I haven't talked to her, so I wouldn't know. The only way to know would be to confer with her directly. But based on historic precedent and what happened to that tiny Arabic woman from Minnesota. And then you've got Senate Bill 1 and then the concurrent House resolution on hate speech. I have to say, this is the new MO. This is going to be the open conspiracy in your face MO. And there are people like Ray McGovern, veteran intelligence professionals for sanity. He's on YouTube, and there are others, a former U.S. Congressman Paul Finley and Ray Hall and Moran. They have some, I think it's an annual summit in D.C., and it's all about the perverse influence of Israel on Congress at large and individual government agencies.
And at this point in time, it must be stated, as this is why the Democrats and Republicans alike, whether they be a governor, whether they be a Senate creature, a Congress critter, doesn't matter, all in unison, along with all of the media, is coming out and decrying all this anti-Semitism. Because yep. That third rail, we were inching closer and closer to that third rail, and you know what? You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to expose that. So
look
at their reaction. Look how fast and harsh and swift it was once that question came up about, and to my way of thinking, this was not an anti-Semite statement questioning our position and our policy toward Israel. It just, that was it. That was the trigger. That's what started it. Oh, boy, anti-Semitism. Well, you know what? If they were to count the anti-Semites on this planet that and know the true history of the Jews versus those that don't, more than half of the world is anti-Semite. All right, Fred, I've got one more story I got to do before I get out of here. Right, thanks, John. Thanks for your call. See, when I get him off of the name-calling there, he reverts back to something I can... It's starting to appreciate Fred here. My goodness. John Whitehead. Jeez. People read my mind, or do they just listen to the program? Or is this just a topic that is often discussed? I don't know. But John Whitehead just did a story recently here about the police and the shooting of dogs. The absurd cruelties of the American police state keep reaching new heights. Consider that if you kill a police dog, you could face a longer prison sentence than if you murdered someone or abused a child. If a cop kills your dog, however, it will be little or no consequence for that officer, not even a slap on the wrist. In this, as in so many instances of official misconduct by government officials, the courts have ruled that the cops have qualified immunity, a legal doctrine that incentivizes government officials to engage in lawless behavior without fear of repercussion. They should be held to a higher standard, not protected. This is the heartless, heartbreaking, hypocritical injustices that passes for law and order in America today. It is estimated that a dog is shot by a police officer every 98 minutes in this country. The Department of Justice estimates at least 25 dogs are killed by police every single day. The Puppyside Database Project estimates that the number of dogs being killed by police to be closer to 500 dogs a day, which would translate roughly to 182,000 dogs a year. In one out of five cases involving police shooting, a family pet, a child, was either in the police line of fire or in the immediate area of the shooting. For instance, a four-year-old girl was accidentally shot in the leg after a police officer opened fire on a dog running toward him, missed it, and hit the little girl instead. Now, is that what I would call polished situational awareness? No, the guy's an idiot. You can dodge a charging dog. You can deflect him at least long enough that he was that concerned about a four-year-old maybe being in his line of sight. I'll let the dog maybe latch onto his arm and then shoot the damn thing while it's busy chewing on your arm. But that would never occur to these people because safety is the utmost concern. I don't want to get a boo-boo while I'm on the job. At a time when police are increasingly inclined to shoot first and ask questions later, it doesn't take much to provoke a cop into opening fire on an unarmed person guilty of doing nothing more than standing a certain way or moving a certain way or holding something, anything, that police could misinterpret as being a weapon. Now, all a cop has to do is cite alleged fear for his safety. There it goes. He's protected. According to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, all it takes for dogs to pose a sufficient threat to police to justify them opening fire is for the dog to move or bark. That's right. Even a... Jeez. Wow. Even in the absence of an actual threat, the perception of a threat is enough for qualified immunity. To kick it in for the cop to be let off the hook for behavior that would get the rest of us jailed for life. As journalist Radley Balco points out, in too much of the policing today, officer safety has become the highest priority. It trumps the right and safety of suspects. It trumps the right and safety of bystanders. It's so important, in fact, that an officer's subjective fear of a minor wound from a dog bite is enough to justify using potentially lethal force. The epidemic of cops shooting dogs takes this shameful behavior to a whole new level. It doesn't take much for a cop to shoot a dog. Dogs shot and killed by police have been guilty of nothing more than menacing, more menacing than wagging their tails, barking in greeting, or merely being in their own yard. For instance, Spike, a 70-pound pit bull, was shot by NYPD police when they encountered him in a hallway of an apartment building in the Bronx. Surveillance footage shows the dog's tail wagging right before the officer shot him in the head at point-blank range. Arzy, a 14-month-old Newfoundland Labrador and Golden Retriever mix, was shot between the eyes by a Louisiana police officer. The dog had been secured on a 4-foot leash at the time he was shot. An independent witness testified that the dog never gave the officer any provocation to shoot him. There's more to this, folks. The story will be posted on republicbroadcasting.org. You dog lovers out there, when these police, the badged ones, should be held to a higher standard, what do? They offer them a safety net. Qualified immunity. Can't sue them, can't do anything to them. Let me remind that thin blue line stretched ever so thin out there. The only reason you guys are up and functioning today is because, by and large, you have the assent of the people that you're supposedly out there protecting. When they get the idea that you're no longer protecting them and you're a direct threat to their safety, that thin blue line can snap really quickly. All right, that'll do it for us today, folks. Please help support the network. We're there to support you in the cause for truth and freedom. We'll be back tomorrow.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold. Arms and or legs often go to sleep. Sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe. Short walks cause cramping or pains in legs. Memory is not as good as it used to be. Ankles swell late in the day. Chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.